You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Six months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. Eight teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA Play-In Tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show? The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Mike officially made the diagnosis. He's become a little bit of a quack, but because nobody really knows what's going on with the virus, and we eventually reach a point where Kyrie Irving is sitting courtside in New York, and he's the only one in the building who can't play, and he's not wearing a mask, and we're all confused, and Kyrie wins, and that was the pandemic, and nobody was right, and everybody was wrong, and now here comes the virus again, and everyone is getting it now.
Yeah.
Mike Ryan has diagnosed me after that first hour with officially COVID brain. I think he's the only one. He says it's a thing, but I think Mike Ryan's COVID brain might be a theory that we can get off the ground like Dr. Oz.
I'm going to make a rather embarrassing admission right now. You guys get the prompt on your iPhone to turn on exposure notifications?
Yeah. No.
Well, I know you, Roy.
Yeah.
But do you guys have that prompt on your...
Exposure?
Yeah. COVID exposure notification.
Oh, yeah. I get it.
Do you like I say no?
Yes.
just
every time.
I don't want to know my exposure. I've been exposed constantly. I'm going to these sporting events. I'm hopping on airplanes. I don't need my phone to vibrate every time I've shook somebody's hand or was in general proximity to somebody. No, I don't want to know. I've just accepted that shit is everywhere. And every single person in this room knows somebody with COVID right now.
I've been to Tampa 5 times since it started, so I know I have it. Yeah. I don't need any sort of, alerts or anything. Just go to Tampa.
I don't want to know. I don't want another reminder because there's the formality of it will be like a death blow. If I get a notification on my phone saying I was in contact with somebody that tested positive, or I'm just, let me assume that I am.
Can I, before we move off this subject, and I'm going to wear the national audience out with all of the local stuff here, but we are and have always been a proudly Miami show, and this is a cool and fun time in Miami sports for us. We did not get many of those in the 10 years at ESPN. We have not got many of those in general in 20 years.
Reject the wearing out of the audience. It's the NBA playoffs and the hockey playoffs, and South Florida, for the first time, has the two best teams in both sports. Like, how are we wearing them out? We're talking about what's going on in sports right now. Get over it.
It's not the two best teams yet, but it is the vying for the two best teams, even though after one game, because sports will make you crazy. After one game, Mike says the Panthers are done, and after one game, he's gloating in a way that I'm sure he's already annoyed the audience. But I think there's a bit of context and nuance that you guys, in your research, did not find the proper way to explain what happened in that argument with Jimmy Butler and Eric Spoelstra. What are you guys laughing about back there?
Well, so Mike is talking about these exposure notifications. So I went into my phone to see if I can flip them on, and it says I can't because of my local public health authority. So I had to pick the region that I'm in, United States, Florida. And because I said I'm in Florida, they're like, nope.
Nope, you can't. You can't find out if you've been exposed.
Yep.
Ronnie doesn't want you to know.
Oh, man.
Just assume.
DeSantis just doesn't want me to know.
Exactly.
Okay, fair enough.
Devil.
Which is what you guys were just saying you kind of want to do.
Yeah, no, that he's got that right.
Yeah. The only thing. Yeah.
He nailed that one. Thank you, Ron.
The details, Stugatz, on this argument, because Whittingham, you were a bit stunned. You're like, wait a minute, I haven't seen that reporting or that said that way. And you went and did some research. And what you came back with was Spolstra saying to Jimmy Butler some form of, are you crazy? Which is one thing. That is not the thing that was said in the reporting the way that Windhorst framed it. It's not, are you crazy? Which anyone can yell in an argument. The quote is, I always knew you were crazy.
This solidifies it.
I always knew you were crazy is different than, are you crazy?
I was thinking about it, you're crazy.
As Spolstra throws the clipboard, no one's ever seen him that mad. And Windhorst said, some of Spolstra's closest friends have never seen him like that. Not just the emotional outburst in the huddle, but the dark brooding he did for the rest of that quarter, almost stopping coaching as he tried to manage the fury. And then, one team source, according to Windhorst, Spo was exasperated. Even Butler, who sometimes seems to actually enjoy creating conflict on his team, wondered whether this was a breaking point, sources said. Can you guys please imagine what this cauldron is? Like, what is this? What is this where Butler's like, I like to create conflict. Oh, this is too much. This is too much conflict. Let me go get 18 free throws. I've now got to go into Robert Williams, and I've got to go into spidery Jason Tatum, and I got to figure out how to get 18 free throws. I need to be crazy to do that, don't I? to fall on the floor for 10 years, jumping toward the rim and falling on the floor and getting fouled by giant people. I got to be crazy to be forged by steel by that.
I always knew you were crazy.
That's great.
Something a Hollywood scriptwriter would do.
Yes.
It's right. Like something out of Winning Time. It's just not a real human professional basketball interaction that we see. I always knew you were crazy.
It's
Jim.
Awesome. Yeah.
It's so much better, though. Whittingham.
That's Eric Spolstra, who's so calm.
I know.
The context is so important on this, Stugatz. I don't know what's true at the center of the huddle, but what I want to be true is I always knew you were crazy. As he throws his clipboard. And so it's not Winning Time the way that the, like 30 years later, the way you tell the story in Winning Time. It's an uglier version of it. Like, you're an asshole. You're an asshole. We hate each other. We're going to punch each other in the face. Let's hold the trophy together.
Does he talk to Riley or his wife in private moments and like say, hey, can you believe this crazy mother bleeper put up 41 again? He's doing things that only Jordan did.
I think he says something to that, but it ends right before put up 41 a game. I think it's like, can you believe this crazy mother bleeper? I cannot wait for Spolstra to say that to Jimmy Butler as he hands him the very first Larry Bird Eastern Conference MVP award. I always knew you were crazy.
But I just can't believe that, like, this is Brian Windhorst's gamer off game one. It's like, Jimmy Butler is worth the drama. You read a paragraph. And then, like, paragraph five is, but back in March when Butler had pushed Spolstra to the brink in the midst of a sideline outburst during a game against Golden State, he barked at Butler, I always knew you were crazy, as the argument spilled onto the court. For Butler, three seasons worth of give and take finally led to finding the line. This is, like, his reaction off game one. Like, I'm sure later in this story I'm going to read, and Gabe Vincent filled up the box score with 18 points on 6 of 9 from the floor.
Can we?
What a weird story.
Stugatz, this sentence is the one that I love. This sentence, because I just think that we sometimes get removed from what it is that we're watching, and we don't realize that these people go to a workplace, not an office, but a workplace,
yeah,
where they have to interact. This sentence, okay? Given what you know about the last 5 years of Jimmy Butler, even Butler, who sometimes seems to actually enjoy creating conflict on his team, wondered whether this was a breaking point. What is that?
I don't know.
What is that? At the center of everything, like, what? How does that go get 41 points? Like, and is it allowed to do whatever it wants if it can go get 41 points with his shoulder and with his neck and just going neck first into the rim?
We once asked the question, if Dwayne Wade punched Pat Riley in the face right before game 7, would he still start? And we all answered yes.
Riley answered yes.
Riley answered yes. To answer your question, yes. Spoelstra thinks he's crazy, but Jimmy Butler at this point can do whatever the hell he wants.
No, but this is, I'm asking you a real world, real workplace situation. We cover the hell out of these teams. What's going on in the workplace when Jimmy Butler likes to create conflict all over the place? And even he's like, well, that was too much conflict. I got to get out of here. Let me go to the next place. Like, what do you mean somebody likes to go into a workplace and just create conflict?
Paragraph 11 of this story is Eric Spoelstra dark brooding. It says here, but even some of Spoelstra's closest friends had never seen him like that. Not just the emotional outburst in the huddle, but the dark brooding he did for the rest of the quarter. Yeah. Eric Spoelstra is not a dark brooder. He's a flat-lined, even-keel guy for 48 minutes. Dark brooding? And think about, this is the guy who coached the Big Three Heat in year one under the most intense scrutiny, who was constantly questioned for not having nearly enough credentials.
And this is more challenging?
Oh, yes, much more challenging, it would appear.
And then there are these quotes from the locker room, because PJ and Jimmy Butler, PJ Tucker, Jimmy Butler has found a kindred spirit in the guy who's made of chains and PJ Tucker. They love each other. And PJ Tucker gets hurt in the game, and they ask him after the game, did you know you would come back, and when did? And he interrupted, always come back.
Oh, man.
I love PJ Tucker's post-game press conference. Oh. God damn it, we biffed another one of these parlays.
Once that first flip shot went in,
I'm like, okay, we got a rhythm, boys.
But the Stros won.
Stugatz should pick the next parlay. Stugatz should pick the next one.
PJ Tucker went to the locker room. That one was over.
We got hurt. Yes, our parlay got hurt when he limped off to the locker room.
We also said we kind of like the Florida Panthers -1.5. That did not work out. We also said keep an eye on. Oh no, said don't look now, but here come the Halos.
Oh. They lost 10-5 last night.
So the only thing that we highlighted in everything,
which wasn't an official, 9-1 after two innings.
They won 13-4. I think Eivaldi gave up five. Look at my Boston sports knowledge.
One inning. Yes.
You know what happened?
Yeah.
I listened to the Sports Hub after the Heat game. I heard the Sports. Did you
eat it up? You did that.
Oh, yeah. Nathan Eivaldi, one of the first pitchers in several years to throw five home runs in one inning.
Yeah.
The Astros,
Stugatz said, I think he said it for the Astros game before, but we counted it for this Astros game. Otherwise, we would have gotten everything wrong in the parlay.
All right, Stugatz, you pick the next parlay.
The one thing that we got right was that all of a sudden, Stugatz says, look for the Astros, and in the second inning, they hit five home runs off of Eivaldi. But Mike, you buried the lead. In all your careening and grief about the Panthers and everything else, you're telling me that you did one of your favorite late-night crawls through the desperate annals of Boston Celtic sports radio misery. Who's calling WFAN to wail into a telephone?
What a night it was. I mean, the Celtics lost. Horford and Smart, they're not available. You had Eivaldi giving up five homers to the Stros.
You weren't doing this.
What a night for Boston radio.
The playoffs has escalated, Stugatz, because I don't think he did this during the Philadelphia series. He hated Philadelphia. He wanted to beef with Philadelphia, but I don't think he went through the alleys of Philadelphia looking to laugh in the faces by listening to sports radio late at night, howling at the moon.
That's a night in Boston, Dan. I am telling you, he didn't do it, by the way, because he didn't feel the need to do it, because he thought that Philadelphia series was going to be easy, and it turned out to be fairly easy. But that is a night, if you're a Boston radio host, no monologue, no nothing. Just announce yourself, give out the phone number, and go.
Let Boston wail.
We go to Sully, Worcester. Hey, they really miss Hoffman. I got a place. Where was Smart? It's a totally different series with Smart out there. Oh, I love it. Which leads me to Mike Ryan's top five favorite things of the quarantine.
Wow.
Okay.
What?
Yeah. This is, you'll see why.
Okay, but but again, because I really want to dig through the dark, you crawling late at night. Everyone around here is working a lot. We're all bouncing between playoff games. We can't keep track of everything that's happening.
I had a 5:30 a.m. call time, but I stayed listening to Boston Sports Hub till 1:30 in the morning.
Mike, you went drinking with a friend of yours, and he drank as much as he's ever had, and you had a wake-up call an hour and a half later because there was a soccer game that needed to be played, and you're crazed. You're a lunatic. You've been snorting the playoffs. You're telling me.
Sports Equinox.
Mm-hmm. That you had time, you made time in your schedule, because you're like listening to 7 audiobooks in one ear and 3 podcasts in another.
Yeah.
And you made time in your schedule to just sit down with like a drink, or like a snifter.
I was showering with my iPhone. I have like a spot where I can hold my iPhone, and I was just blasting Boston Sports Hub simultaneously as I was whistling in the shower.
Was your phone getting wet?
I was doing the cool jerk. I was doing the cool. Well, hey now.
Hey.
Hell yeah.
All right. So top five things. But I'm gonna explain the Boston thing, because the Boston thing is one of my favorite things of the quarantine.
Fine, but I simply want people to go through your evening. At your last weeks, you've been crawling around with your fandom. This show's been crawling around with its fandom. You're tired. You're telling me that your last night was the misery of this other team that I started working for 25 years ago, made me kind of care about sports in this market, helped me start my career even though they never paid me. This team I really care about, that my wife is crazy about. I went to that playoff game. I've got that stink on me.
Yeah.
But I'm going to get, as I go further and further south and closer to the heat, I'm going to get scrubbed up and end up in the shower, and I'm going to end my night, a night of misery, when I think the hockey playoffs are over for me because I'm not going to win this series. You scrub it off last night by just literally bathing in Boston's misery.
Bathing with Scott Zolak.
We go to Petey and Glossa. We got to get the ball in Pritchard's hands more. I think Pritchard's a gamer. Mike's top five favorite things of the quarantine.
Yes.
Number 5, The Last Dance. Remember where you were? You were so starved for sports. Last Dance was our sports. ESPN rushed it. And we did weeks of shows where we would recap that week's episode of The Last Dance. We may not have had the NBA Finals going on at that part of the calendar like we should have, but instead we were talking about the Jazz Bulls NBA Finals from 97.
We bathed in nostalgia. We were so desperate to have some sort of smack for our addiction.
Yeah, we all needed it. We were grateful for it. It's honestly an upset that it's only at number 5. Number 4, Coach Doug's.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That was a time that was, I didn't understand it, but Coach Doug's ran college football, video game world, I don't understand.
I was living and dying with a national championship game between the Tennessee Volunteers and the Miami Hurricanes, and Coach Doug's finally did the impossible, won a national title for Tennessee. I was in on all the Coach Doug stuff. It was teaching me about Twitch. Learning about Twitch was also, that's actually on my bottom 5 things about the quarantine. Mm-hmm. I'd put that above the coronavirus on the least favorite things about the quarantine. Yeah. Is learning how to operate and run a Twitch.
You're right about that.
Yeah. So, number 3, Tiger King.
Two better, huh?
The best. Yeah, two better things.
Wow.
Number 2 is Christmas. And it's also listening to Boston Sports Radio after the Celtics lose to the Miami Heat. I'm telling you, this is a time-honored tradition, and yes, these games are going late, but trust me, if you love the Miami Heat, it is well worth it to hear such dimes as, entering this series, I thought Jaylen Brown was the second best player in the series. Now I think it's Jimmy Butler. Tatum's still number 1, but he let us down. And number 1... David Guetta dedicating a beat drop to George Floyd's family, thus ending racism.
From a Miami balcony?
Yes.
Why did I write that down?
It was amazing. No, it was,
I think he sampled Martin Luther King. He sampled...
Shout out to his family.
Shout out to George Floyd and his family.
What the fuck?
That's what happened. That's what happened. It's a real thing.
You've never seen this?
No.
Oh, he ended racism.
No, we're gonna do a social media.
Oh, we have to. Roy, we need to get
watching this for the first time.
We have to do that.
Roy, let's do it right now. Well, let's close this segment out by putting in front of Roy the most awkward of viral video of the pandemic, which is a with very little ability to understand the tone of the country. We mixed MLK and house music awkwardly was he by a pool, Whittingham?
He was in a New York balcony. This was an MLS tie-in. Yes. You're confusing it with the other David Guetta pandemic broadcast. I was in Brickell Key.
Yeah, multiple.
That was a banger.
All right, hold on. Roy is now watching this for the first
time.
The
YouTube is titled, yes, David Guetta Ends Racism.
Okay.
Here we go.
All right, Roy.
And this was not in Miami. This was in New York.
Is in honor of George Floyd. And I really hope we can see more unity and more peace when already things are so difficult. So, shout out to his family.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's over.
Roy threw his headset.
Roy threw his headset. He has left the studio. Yes. Such funny music to start right after that. Just happy, happy house music.
6 months, 82 games, and finally, the postseason is here. First up, the SoFi NBA play-in tournament. For this, the rules are simple. Win to get in. 8 teams battle to earn their playoff spot in a win-or-go-home style tournament that is bound to be full of highlights, excitement, and drama. There's no better way to set the tone for the playoffs than this, so make sure you don't miss the action. Watch TNT's coverage of the SoFi NBA play-in tournament on April 16th and 19th on TNT, True TV, and Max.
Don Levitard.
Kensley Jansen. I got to be careful here. What did I just do there? Let me start again.
Stugats.
He's their closer. Comes in, ninth inning, closes the game out. His name is Kenley Jansen. He has blamed his recent...
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugats.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today and use code DAN for a special offer when you sign up. That's code DAN, only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
What's he coming in here excited about?
Face fans.
I got my my new metal logo and face match game, Dan. I don't know if it'll work as a podcast. We can try it. We can do it in the kitchen.
I heard you guys talking about this. You were very excited. I heard you talking about this.
We have a board?
Earlier this week when we were discussing, was it Limp Bizkit or Fred Durst or just that these bands of this era, there were like 7 or 10 of them that it felt like they were all the same.
The starting point was Roy is full of shit.
Yep.
A pop culture maven, the person that would be my first draft all time for any trivia game, just decides he's going to pretend like he forgot all of pop culture from the year 1997 through the year 2009.
And then he remembers an at-bat from Paul O'Neill in the middle of July in 92 somewhere. I mean, come on.
90s baseball. God damn it.
You're so full of it.
It's a two Americas-based argument, and you're talking about baseball.
Yeah. Yeah. And two Americas guy is also the world's biggest hockey fan who purchased every EA Sports NHL game.
It's weird.
In which all of these bands are so prominently featured.
Which America are you in?
Yeah.
Roy, I'm in my America.
Half the time you're in Canada.
Yeah, Roy, seriously. Your America is one America in Canada is what it is. Hockey, Roy. Roy would love to be Canadian. There, I said it.
I got a passport just in case.
So what are you doing with these faces? What's happening
here,
Mike?
You have pictures right now in front of you. You came in here joyful. You were very excited.
I'm trying to find some sort of tripod or board so we can make this also work for all of you guys, as you'll be doing play-by-play on it. But what I did was I got 10 faces of Nu Metal past, some present. All right. 10 faces from band.
Fumble.
Can you get 10 faces of professional hitters from the 90s? I like to play that game.
I got 10 faces of people from rock bands, new metal rock bands, alt rock bands from the years 1997 through 2007. But here's a twist. I have 13 logos.
Oh boy.
Of bands.
A twist.
And basically, you have to match the band with the face.
Yeah. Wow.
So we have a giant board.
Seven dust.
Billy, why are you so excited?
I'm sorry, Michael.
What is this? Is this your brainchild? Whose idea was this?
No, this was my brainchild, but this is where my powers and Billy's powers combine, because
No.
This was Billy did come up with a match game, and I came up with the contestants, and this is where Billy and I our passion for arts and crafts really unite, because as you know, I've been quoted as saying radio production is 70% arts and crafts.
Yep, of
so,
course.
But seed, why are idea in motion.
I taught you that, right?
There's a big board now in our golf studio. If I don't know the camera people, if you can go over to the golf studio. We're going to need probably some little, some scotch tape so we could put these faces on there. And we're also going to have to turn on those microphones. So we're kind of figuring this out on the go. But we have a giant board out there where we can put these faces and then the bands that we're trying to get Roy to match together.
So match the band with the face.
Yeah, okay, the face with the band. Yeah, and
Roy
I can do it.
Yeah.
I was told, well, okay, so this is kind of what we're up against here, right? Is that in Roy's perfect scenario, for Roy to be right, Roy will get none right. Because Roy wants us all to believe that he doesn't know who any of these people are. So Roy will be trying to lose this game. Right, intentionally, so that he can prove how little he knows or cares.
This week, it's been a plague that Roy's only move is to deny that he knows anything.
But he's going
to
be throwing this
comment. Paul O'Neill.
But I saw that move coming from a mile away, so what I did was I challenged him.
Good for
you're not going to get any in this one, because I am also very good at this, and I'm going to absolutely stump you with these faces and bands.
So now
you pick the faces and the bands, though.
Well, but I know he's not going to get any of them.
This is what we have going on. This is like the context behind the scene. We have Roy's inner turmoil here of proving himself right or proving Mike wrong. So we're going to try to find out which is more important to Roy, being right about not knowing any or proving Mike wrong.
Yes.
I like it.
So
I thought I saw Billy Corgan there.
Oh, that's Friday because Miami.
And he both white guy.
So basically,
Dan is Billy Corgan. So just keep it moving.
I'm going to be the Panthers power play in round one. I'm not going to get 80s right now.
See, that's what you're going to get blamed.
You're going to get blamed.
Terrible attitude, Roy. It's a terrible attitude. And
I'm going to make it's going to make you a bad hockey fan because new metal and pop culture, the intersection was ice hockey.
Wow.
Billy, it's a terrible attitude.
It was.
And it's a terrible game.
Yes.
Because this is not, this as an audio experience, the reveals of faces and arts and crafts.
I've never had Billy give me so much buy-in on an idea.
No, he loves it.
They're working together.
It's a great game.
Yes. No, I love this game as well.
It's not about the game. It's about exposing Roy, seeing what's more important to Roy.
I understand, but I've never seen Billy in this sort of arts and crafts frenzy where we've clearly tapped
in.
He wants to do like an FBI, does like string chart of, he's got a whole idea in his head. And the reason.
I found this guy. Tape. We're
of
good.
Course you did.
But Billy, before you leave, just real quick, I want you to understand that...
no time.
Okay, very good.
He's never moved this quickly. I've never seen him so excited.
I've never been more attracted to him.
Why?
Who knew that basing a bunch of frontmen from new metal bands would be the connection point that Billy and I so sorely needed over the years?
Do you think Billy would say the same about you right now?
Billy's got his own agenda, but I'm enjoying it.
Chris
Mutually
Cody.
Beneficial at this point.
Where is this game going? Because Billy, I've never seen him this invested in anything. He's got scotch tape. He's got arts and crafts. And what I wanted to tell him is I believe that Eric Rydholm, after 20 years grinding it out on Pardon the Interruption with those two old sports writers, I believe he still does all the arts and crafts for that show and loves doing it. And Billy has had this part of himself never fed. It's
Billy
never
and Mike
been fed.
Have always loved when they can pull out some scissors.
Yeah, we are disciples of the Rydholm way. That's where I learned that arts and crafts is basically what makes a good producer.
There's still confetti falling from this ceiling from like Billy cutting up a bunch of confetti like 7 years
it.
Ago.
Yeah.
Every like once a month, a piece of confetti will all of a sudden just start trickling down.
I know that's true. I've seen that. Billy, why don't we do more of this? Why don't we get you an arts and crafts budget?
I was so upset during the Paul O'Neill interview because we were talking about Chris Sabo. And underneath my desk for the longest time, I had a miniature Chris Sabo figurine.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that Juju sent. I think
how many things are under there?
I think that's purged. I think it was purged.
Find it? You had it for that one moment. As soon as Paul O'Neill popped up in the screen, you had your ability. You spent the whole segment trying to find a Chris Sabo bobble.
Yeah, and I didn't want to move like Roy out of the way because I thought it might be in the desk, but all that's in there is rats.
If you have that bobblehead under your desk, how much it was a miniature shit do you have
everything,
under there?
Everything.
Holy Jesus.
Well, no, world. I also... Look, guys, there was a very sad purge that happened here at some point in time. Because when you were discussing the confetti, I was looking for the hair dryer that I used to have that we got from the hotel that I turned into a confetti cannon.
You're winded.
Yeah, no, I am.
You're running back and forth, yeah.
I mean, I'm not ashamed, man. I'm telling you.
I also need to tell people when he says, and he did this purposefully, when he says that he pulled a couple of rats out from under his desk, they are the Florida Panthers hockey rats that are plastic and are thrown on the ice. Although if he had pulled out a couple of rats that were just rats, it wouldn't have surprised anybody either.
Well, also, when I opened the drawer and I didn't find Chris Sabo, I said rats, so I couldn't understand the confusion.
There is something very cathartic about arts and crafts. A little arts and crafts. You like arts and crafts, Dan, don't you?
Well, I like when others do arts and crafts. I don't know if
you
I
like throwing something in the kiln.
I don't know. I don't know that I would view arts and crafts as cathartic.
Ask Mike. I mean,
but
I love it. Now I'm trying to get the perfect bed for this game. I'm not sure what we call it though.
Roy's full of shit is what I thought we agreed.
Is Roy full of shit?
No, Roy's right. Full of shit is what we're calling the game.
No need to play then.
I thought we'd already decided that. Had we not? I don't want to contaminate the jury pool, but as I said, Roy's full of shit.
Is this one? Should we go with this?
This isn't going to prove anything because Roy's not going to know what
it's going to prove what Roy wants more.
Oh, there's Chris Sabo.
That's it.
Oh my God.
I found Sabo.
What an artifact.
I found Sabo.
And his arm, is that his arm that was broken?
No, that's a bat.
Where are the goggles, Billy?
They're there, but they're flesh colored. This was a low budget product, I would say.
They're there?
That's one of the shittiest things I've ever seen.
Whoa, that was a gift from Juju Gotti, I believe. Come on, Dan.
This bed's missing a little something. Perhaps a DJ, some bad rap. I gotta keep working.
Yeah, it's a little aggressive. It's bothering me.
Well, new metal is aggressive, Dan. It's not aggressive enough.
A Toledo Rockets flag has been unfurled. Thank you. It has been unfurled.
Why do you have that?
Don't let it touch the ground. You think
you can respect the flag?
Respect the Rockets.
Yes. No.
Put it on the pole, Guillermo. At Levitard Show. Is it sacrilegious for the Toledo football flag to hit the ground?
Yeah,
still not there. We're missing a whiny voice.
But Billy, how do you think this is going to work out as an audio experience for the
terribly.
People?
Oh, terribly. Yeah, this is strictly a digital play. Yeah, I still haven't figured out what Roy wants this to be. You know what I mean? Like, because I don't think that he wants to win. I don't think he wants to be right.
But would you be honest, Roy, if you did know somebody? This is the question, because Roy's full of shit doesn't work if you're always full of shit.
I would absolutely be honest if I knew a person.
I doubt it. Yeah.
Well, I'm full of shit on that, too.
You don't think that you'd recognize Fred Durst?
No.
Oh, shut up. You're lying. You wouldn't recognize somebody with a backwards red Yankee cap. Come on.
Well, our printer's only black and white ink. But this is what I tried to test Roy earlier when we were discussing this going on. I said, Roy, you know, when we play this game, you're going to have to match Fred Durst to Blink 182. And he looked at me and goes, Fred Durst wasn't in Blink 182.
I did not say that.
Mm-hmm.
I did not say
that. I'm on to him.
Why? You're full of shit. No.
Well, is the segment Roy's full of shit or Billy's full of shit?
I mean, that would be a short segment if it was Billy's full of shit.
I think this works, Mike.
We got our. I think this is the one.
This is it.
We got our mics in place.
Be very careful because we switched from scotch tape to thumbtacks. So don't hurt yourself, Roy.
All right. Oh, I love these faces.
You're the game show host here, and you're playing with Roy.
All right, let's do it.
And how can I help? How can I help?
We have to call it
the audience. You and me have to call it?
I guess.
To help the audience so that this isn't just terrible music playing. as we do something that's going to have a visual
this
payoff.
This feels live and dangerous.
Oh, we don't have the rights to this music either. They're not going to hear any of the music. I know. I was just joshing them.
So Mike and Roy are going to the other room. Who is hosting this thing? Like, who's going to be asking the questions?
Witty.
Witty?
Oh, Mike is going to the other studio.
Yeah, there's multiple microphones over there. So you'll have a, you know, Pat Sajak type over there with a contestant. Yeah.
We are doing it live on the fly, no preparation. This is all ad-libbed. Chris Cody
I'm
is
dancing,
dancing for some reason. It feels scary. We are live. We are inventing a game show right now that will be prove nothing because Roy can just lie his way through it.
I've already stabbed myself twice with
thumbtacks. I said be careful with the thumbtacks. Yeah. I said it. Dan, I said it. I said it.
Billy, why weren't you out there thumbtacking because of your affinity for...
I had to find Sabo.
Of all the arts and crafts things, what's your favorite? String, thumbtacks, tape?
Not string, yarn, obviously.
Yarn,
in the family of the string types, I would go with yarn. I'm not a thumbtack person. I like two-sided tape.
Ooh.
Very in the days of sports
it sticks
bang...
sticks on both your fingers, though.
But in the days of sports bang, two-sided tape was my... was my go-to when we were playing the I don't remember what the card game was that we used to play.
Can we please go down memory lane real quick because the phrase when you say sports bang it conjures
sponsored by Isle Casino.
Oh yeah.
Please tell me more. Please just tell me all the stories.
Those are under here too. Hold on.
You've got the budget. You've got the budget for arts and crafts under the desk from 10 years ago. For those who do not know, Stugatz, I imagine there are many people listening who do not know what Sports Bang is.
Sports Bang was a local kind of First Take-ish type show, but lighter, you know. Billy was the producer. He was excellent at it. Me and Goldie, we were hosting it along with Amber Wilson. And so Joy Taylor for a little bit as well. It was a local show, CBS, Saturday mornings. That kind of got people ready for the sports weekend.
Occasionally, Bryant McKinney would come on, and he would bring whatever musical act he was promoting because he has a record label.
So and we would let him on.
Yeah. And also, so Brian great. McFadden, who now is like a big deal on CBS Sports, was there too.
Yep.
Billy, you say it with a sly smile on your face. You've got to have the great Brian McKinney stories because it was so random and wonderful to see all of a sudden on Sports Bang. And here's a musical act out of nowhere.
So he...
Bree Beauty.
Yeah, Bree Beauty. That's right. That wasn't even the best that wasn't even the best McKinney situation. The best
Mom?
McKinney... No, not Mom. Who's
She was great.
You guys promised a show to Brian McKinney and his mom.
I did, yeah.
Like, oh, guys, you guys are great.
There was something there.
Let's bring her on. Yeah. It's going to be great. This is going to be great. But that wasn't the best
thing. I saw something.
The best McKinney thing that I remember was...
The McKinneys, I mean.
And I don't want this to be liable in any way, so let me be careful with how I say it. But in the Bullygate situation was going on at the time, and he was on that team.
I saw something in the McKinneys, I did. It says
yeah,
over here.
I did.
So when Bullygate came out, the day that it was released, like the transcripts of like the Fine Journal or whatever, we like stopped taping and we're like, we need to talk about this. And we told Brian McKinney and we're like, oh, like they released, he's like, they got the journals? And then just like laughed. And then we did a whole segment.
They got the journals.
We were showing him pictures of the journals.
You guys were closer. You guys got more accurate reported details than anybody
in
the industry.
We would get a sponsor, and that sponsor would become a co-host. Matt Beecher, the head of Homestead Motor Speedway, did the show more than Goldie did.
He was on at least twice a year, and we also
loved watching it.
We had a general manager of Papa John's sales on like
it was
four
so
times.
Good.
He had to ring the doorbell to get in. Remember, we had the doorbell.
Cutting it up. That's the pizza segment.
It wasn't hokey at all, Dan. When you entered the studio and announced that you were here, you had to ring a doorbell. So me and Billy knew, so and then Billy, we let you in.
We also had a segment sponsored by Anajar and Levine, which is a local like law firm. And we gave Amber Wilson a gavel, and she would decide who was right and wrong.
Do you think the Juju can find that anywhere? People would love to see Sports Bang clips of you.
No,
we should bring it back.
Are you running around with scotch tape? Are you running around like that? What was the budget that you're talking about when you think of the arts and crafts? Because that show did have good arts and crafts. You did make things.
There was, I was begging Stugatz at a certain point to get like a Party City sponsorship because it was basically like. Every Wednesday or Thursday night, I was at Party City buying things. We had an award show one time where we gave away, like, I don't remember what it was. I think it was like MBA awards or something. And I was spray painting like at 1 a.m. on Thursday because we filmed on Fridays. Basketball gold.
That show was good, Billy. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know if
the
like
the Bangies.
That show was called.
I think we called it.
Dan, you tuned in a lot.
I did.
He did actually.
I did.
He would text me.
I would enjoy on watching. Mute. I would enjoy watching the show.
Hey.
They had games that
oh, have, I loved the game.
Panicker Calm with the stick figures running back.
Yeah, running back. That was a big win for us. Yeah, that was with the graphics department. That was a whole, yeah. All right, I remember I saw it on a cruise one time because I was off, and I saw Sports Bang on a cruise in the Caribbean because the TV package had that local channel, and I was like, that was my moment. I took a picture on my phone of Sports Bang on a cruise. Also, yesterday, we don't need to talk about this today, I met the person who's responsible for the TV packages on cruise ships. Incredible. Big fan of the show, John.
Okay, we will talk about that at a later date. Thank you for sharing.
Why?
I don't know. I don't know.
Welcome, everybody, to the game show that is sweeping the nation. I'm talking, of course, about Is Roy Full of Shit? I'm your host, Mike Ryan. On the board today, we have 10 mostly white faces of new metal and alt rock from the early 2000s. In my hand, I have 13 band logos that I've cut together and handed to our contestant today. Roy, it says here you're a hockey fan.
Hey, let's hear from
that
Roy.
That is true, sir. Yes, yes.
All right, Roy, I am going to be handing you these band logos, and your job is to match the logo that you think best fits the face. I will be as descriptive as I can with these faces without giving away the bands, because that would be the answer. Roy, let us begin the left to right top row. There's this gentleman holding a guitar, so he's an instrumentalist. He has got a very long beard that he has braided up and very spiky hair, along with a pretty nifty neck beard. Go ahead, find the band that you think matches this rocker most.
Okay. Let me stop you guys for just a moment, Mike. The lighting is bad on the left side of the room, so just so you know, we cannot see what's happening on the left side of that board. The right side is easier.
It's not a professional game show studio.
There we go. It's a white background.
Here. Yeah.
We're doing the best. All right, there I see it. Okay, now I can.
I think that's Andre Agassi. I mean,
that's a second placard.
It is clearly.
Just avoid that. We're on this one.
That guy's second from left is
bloated Andre Agassi.
No, he's the manager of Charlotte FC.
Is that Zach Harper? First one.
Here we go. Spiky hair, very spiky hair. Lots of gel. Neck beard, braided beard, also all the way down. Screaming into a microphone. What band is he is? All right, Roy has decided that he is going with a logo that says Lit on it. Lit. We will come back to that and find out if he's right. Moving on to the person that Sugat's called Andre Agassi.
He's also a David Holcomb Miami Heat security with face piercing.
Going through a phase.
Earlier in this segment, Dan proudly proclaimed that this was Billy Corgan of Smashing Pumpkins.
I only saw a flash of him. To be fair, I only saw your card. You were hiding your cards, not Billy Corbin.
My bad.
This gentleman over here is a very interesting piercing, by the way. He's got a piercing coming from the bottom of his lip all the way to the bottom of his chin. Very intimidating presence. He is going with the logo that says Disturbed. We'll find out at the end of the game if he is indeed right. Coming up next, we have a guy with goggles on his head, looking like he's about to fly a crop duster, very spiky hair, and an interesting outfit.
Chris Sabo.
He's like Chris Sabo. Try to find the logo as we move through this quickly. I will give you a bit of trivia. This gentleman is Rob Zombie's younger brother.
Mike, just so that you know, Chris Cody just whispered in my ear on number 3, 10 may have been too many. And then
10
ran,
is way too many.
And then he ran into the shadows. Number 4.
All right, Roy has just put the Deftones logo on that. Moving quickly, we go over to another bald person. I can tell you that this person is uber conservative. He has been radicalized by the right. He is often declaring that Anthony Fauci should be arrested at his concerts.
No,
but he is an absolute smooth singer with the acoustic guitar. Put a logo up there. He has put up Breaking Benjamin. Now we move on to a person that it looks like a mugshot, but it's not. He looks like he was heavily influenced by the 1990s film Swingers. Roy's quickly putting up a placard that says Stained on this one. Okay, halfway done with this, guys. We are now in our lightning round. Up here, we have a black gentleman, because I realized how this game was going. So I had to put up a black gentleman.
Can I stop you for a second, Mike? Because Chris Cody is having a whole commentary of a show in my ear that that is good, and I want it on air.
It seems like Mike is just flexing his music snob muscles here.
He wants to be a game show host.
It's the combination, and you don't get the chances very often to do both of these at once. So Mike has gone, right now, you have not gone Limp Bizkit category of excellent. You are taking some...
Too deep, I think.
I don't know if it's too deep, but and he is right. These people were all the same, but it was... this is a little bit of elite on this trashy music that Jason was
supposed to be.
New metal. I don't even know there was such a thing. As you saw, lightning you guys round. May have missed it, but we did get equal representation here. We had to put in one black gentleman because I wasn't liking the way that the game was going.
Sugar Ray. That's Mark McGrath.
All right. He's just put up a placard that said Power Man 5000 for the black gentleman. A white gentleman that looks like Jay Cutler, he put up a placard that says Switchfoot.
He kind of looks like Legler to me, the guy with the Switchfoot logo.
Is that Mark McGrath?
It looks like Mark McGrath.
It doesn't matter. Roy's going to get it right. Is that Mark McGrath?
It looks like.
All right. Roy is putting now on a placard for another person
that
looks...
Kelly Olynyk.
Yeah, gentlemen, it looks like Kelly Olynyk.
It's Kelly Olynyk's hair on J.J. Watt's face.
And
be a great name for the lead singer of a band, Olynyk.
All right, we are down to our last two.
Olynyk is a great name for a band.
Right, yeah.
Yes.
We're down to our last two. You could argue that I saved the two most famous for last. He has put up a puddle of mud.
That's Mike Marchand.
Lebo.
Mike Marchand. And finally, we close with a heavily tatted face.
This is where he gets it wrong on purpose. There's no way he gets this one wrong.
Roy!
He's doing this on purpose.
He's doing a thing. He knows that.
All right, Roy, if you could give me the leftover placards for the logos to show the fans the ones that you decided to pass up.
Well,
on.
These are his final answers.
These are his final answers. He omitted Blink-182. Yeah, the Blink-182 logo is gone. I can tell you most certainly that there is a member of Blink-182 on there. He left the Drowning Travis Pool Parker, logo there. That's actually a good job out of Roy because this was a. This was a false band. There isn't representation for Drowning Pool there. And he put in Static X. Roy, Static X was our first contestant in which you put Lit on him. He's no longer with us. So this is actually Static X.
Rest in power.
So 0 for 1. Roy, you actually got Andre Agassi right.
Wow.
Hey!
It is a lead singer from Disturbed. Oh, nice. Give us a wah!
Wah!
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, is that guy?
Down with the sickness.
Wow.
Oh, Roy, okay. Who knew that Roy was down with the sickness, everybody? We move on to the lead singer of a band called Power Man 5000. I believe this is Rob Zombie's younger brother.
Oh, that's
And you put up Deftones, which is particularly
Bob
angering
Zombie.
To me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I apologize.
That is not
just
the singer
seven more now.
The zombies.
For Aaron Lewis of Stained, you put Breaking Benjamin. That is wrong. And for the singer of Lit, who was heavily influenced by the 90s film Swingers, you put the placard Stained. So that was wrong. We already established Rob Zombie's younger brother was in Power Man 5000. This is a singer from Seven Dust. Switchfoot is a Christian rock band that you put over here for Jay Cutler. That is not one of the alt-rock bands.
That's one of those fakes.
I apologize.
For the Puddle of Mud singer, this one's my favorite answer of yours. You put a band called Rusted Root, which is honestly a folk band that sang the 90s hit On My Way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I think Chris Cody was right about all of this.
Go ahead, number nine.
Number nine, for Chino Moreno of Deftones, he put on a Puddle of Mud. We already established that the singer of Rusted Root is actually the singer of Puddle of Mud.
Didn't Roy say he knew Deftones earlier?
And I knew the song. Perhaps the most egregious and the one that made me think he was throwing the competition.
Green.
For Travis Barker of Blink-182, he put Seven Dust.
Such bullshit. Such bullshit.
100%
on purpose.
Roy is full of shit. Roy is full of shit.
Roy is full of shit. Roy is full of shit. Roy is full of shit. Roy is full of shit.
You know, I got some bourbon right here. I'm going to have some. Making me drink.